For parents, choosing the right school choice is one of the most important decisions you will make. At Milwaukee College Prep, we don't take that responsibility lightly. Here, your child is more than a student. They are a young person we get to know by name, by strengths, and by the area where they need the most support. Together as a family and school, we work every day to help them grow, learn, and build the confidence to reach their full potential. We partner closely with families, provide steady support, and act early when challenges arise so every child can thrive. Your child's growth, well-being, and success are at the heart of everything we do. We would love to meet you and your child in person to share more about how we can work together. Don't wait. Limited seats are available. Apply today at MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com or call 414-264-6000. What's up, Milwaukee? What's up, world? It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. You are officially tapped in on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Before we went to break, we were talking about the fact that our babies... just us, hell, as black people overall, right? Do we know how to hunt, right? Do we know how to fish? I know a lot of us, I love fishing. I love going fishing. Try to get my two oldest to do it. They're not really into it, but I did teach my youngest how to fish. But I believe that agriculture and teaching them these things, especially given the stance of this country, of this world where we are currently, the climate, these are things that we have to start having more conversations around, right? So maybe preparing black children for the future has to become larger than test scores, right? So we know the basics when it comes to education, literacy, entrepreneurship. Absolutely. Absolutely. Those things need to be taught, hands down, right? But we also need to teach them how to survive. We also need to be realistic when it comes to the politics and the things that's happening in this country. Are we setting them up for failure? Are we setting our babies up for failure? Right. And I understand that there is some concerns when it comes to the thought or the idea of our children having a weapon in their hand, given the amount of violence that we have, not just in the city, but just when it comes to our people overall. But the reality of the matter is that's not the issue. The issue is they are not properly trained. This is something that has is not typically introduced to us, because a lot of us don't even know how to obtain a hunting license. B, because a lot of us have beliefs, whether it's religion, whether it's a fear of guns, whatever the case may be, so much to the point where we will, you know, limit ourselves or limit our children from learning. And I get it. I promise I do. I get it. But I also, again, want to be realistic and be an advocate here, because as bad as I want the youth not to have weapons in their hands, I do believe that surviving is something completely different, right? And it don't necessarily mean that we have to teach them hunting with a weapon, right? They can grab some fish or whatever the case may be with a bare hand, right? They can do all of these things. But at the end of the day, if the whole world was to shut down, how will you eat? How will you feed your family? What skill sets do you have to survive? And I'm not talking about the survival, the type of survival that we as oppressed people are used to. That's a different type of survival. That survival includes us being against each other by any means necessary, right? Whether it's physically, whether it's finessing somebody, nothing is off limits. When we're talking about surviving in case the electrical grid goes down, surviving because if y'all haven't been paying attention to how many recalls they are currently producing in the media when it comes to the food that we eat. So much to the point where everybody is scared to eat eggs, rice, meat, everything is being recalled. Even the food that's not being recalled, we know that there's problems with that as well. So we know that they've been attacking our food, but they are doing it double the times than history has shown us. They are doing it more frequently, right? So much to the point to where, and then if you pay attention to it, it's always food that we eat. It's always food that is less expensive, something that is easy to make a quick meal. Every black person you know probably got so much rice inside of their house now because when mama don't feel like cooking, baby, I'm going to fry some chicken and I'm going to make me some rice. And throw a little piece of bread right there on top of it. But when it comes to our food, they are continuously attacking the quality of our food, right? So I'm not saying this in a manner where it's about a conspiracy or conspiracy theories. It's in our faces. Everything that I am speaking of is in our faces. They are attempting to take control over the water system, the data centers. There are so many recalls when it comes to our food. They are gaining control over every single thing. Trump keep going out, starting all of these wars and beefs with all of these countries so much to the point where it'll be pretty soon is going to be impossible for us to even travel. And I know you all have heard about martial law and things like that throughout the years. But I just want us, again, to be realistic and pay attention to what is happening. Pay attention to what is happening. What happens when all of those canned goods that you've been stacking for so many years run out? Especially if you have more than three or four children, or if there's more than three children who are a part of your household or family. How will you survive? And I know we talk about buying land and all of these things, in which we should. But what happens if the entire government system shuts down? Where there is nobody own no land, nobody own this house, nobody own nothing. You're just all over the place. I seen something this past weekend where they were talking about, our banking accounts. And we've seen that multiple times too. But not saying that it's true, but in the event the government did have access to your banking account and drained all of your money, what will you do? How will you be able to survive, right? So again, I don't want our children inheriting a world they know perfectly how to consume, but have absolutely no idea on how to produce inside of it. We are teaching them how to constantly go out to eat. We are teaching them to depend on the government, to depend on parents, to depend on somebody when it comes to being able to survive. We are not properly teaching them how to survive. And again, I'm not referring to the survival tactics that we all learned growing up because our parents were affected by the war on drugs or crack or the heroin, all of those epidemics. I'm not talking about that type of survival. I am referring to a survival that requires a village, a community, right? And there are a lot of great programs out there that currently teaches our youth and our people how to hunt, how to fish, and do all of these different things, how to preserve food. But what are we doing about it as a community? Are we teaching this inside of our home? Are we having these discussions on social media? Are we having these discussions on radio? I promise you, like there is a lot of things that's happening in this world that is very entertaining. And we're going to talk about one of them when we come back from break shortly. But before we get into that, I just have to reiterate it again and again. Please understand that there will be a time where everything you are familiar with inside of this world, inside of this country, will be no longer. The systems that's set in place, the way of life, the things you're used to having, the things you are used to doing. And when that time comes, I want you to understand that we have spent so much time focused on how we look, what we smell like, what we drive in, where we live, are we being accepted, likes, all of these things, when we could have been preparing for the worst. And this isn't to instill fear inside of anybody. This isn't to say that you cannot enjoy life and that you aren't supposed to live, but be responsible enough to know and have some common sense. While you are out spending all this money on partying, on liquor, on clothes, whatever it is that's tangible, make sure that you are also investing inside of your own personal system or whatever system you choose to create with other people in your community or village, so that when stuff hits the fan, you all will be taken care of. That's the type of time that us as Black people have to be on. Right? Although we've built this country, although we have many traditions, again, just pay attention to how they're raising this generation up. They don't have any knowledge on how to survive. Hell, some of us adults don't either. So let's get into the habit of teaching them that. All right. When we come back, recess from all the heavy loads, I want to, again, talk about something that tickled me. It is serious, however. This entire situation is insane. Federal prosecutors say a man built a lavish identity, claimed at times to be one of the NFL players for the San Francisco 49ers. Allegedly, he sold women fake investments and collected approximately $1.3 million. I'm sorry, 26 victims to be exact. These were 26 women that he did that too. We got to talk about this when we come back. Truth Nation, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. Don't touch that dial. One on 1-7 The Truth. We are live and direct. You are officially tapped in. Please do not forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, 101.7 The Truth, 101.7 The Truth, and follow me on social media at The Jazzy Effect. So I was scrolling through social media this weekend, and I ran across something that tickled me. Although I am not laughing at the victims because this is insane, I am laughing at the creativity that, or the extent that people will go just to impress a woman or themselves. So according to NBC News, a man was accused of pretending to be a San Francisco 49ers player to defraud women, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Oregon. Beginning in February of 2022, Dejan Love, age 35, and Taylor Chan, age 18, created fictitious investments to defraud numerous women in Oregon, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and California, according to court documents. So authorities said both men were arrested when Chan flew from California on Monday to meet Love in Boys, Idaho. Both were charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud and charged with wire fraud. Love would meet most of the women through dating apps and pretend to have a lavish lifestyle on social media, falsely portraying himself as a 49er player or a wealthy real estate investor, according to authorities. The attorney's office said Love convinced victims they were in sincere romantic relationships with him, that he was a sophisticated investor, and that Chan was his investment advisor who helped Love to grow a fortune of tens of millions of dollars. Love also told the victims he wanted to build wealth and a future with them, authorities said. Officials added Love advertised non-existent investment vehicles, claiming these investments would generate massive returns for both him and his victims. Court documents said Love used phone apps to create fictitious bank and investment accounts and balances to show the victims and make the scheme appear legitimate. Authorities said Love and Chan exchanged electronic communications in which Chan pretended to be Love's investment advisor and would send messages encouraging Love to invest in new opportunities. Love would then send screenshots of those messages to the victims to convince them to send money to either of them, according to the court documents. The U.S. Attorney's Office said the pair would have video calls with victims to show them falsified investment gains and encourage them to part with their money. If the victims did not have the money, authorities said Love sometimes instructed them to take out a loan. If they were left with no more money to invest or ask too many questions, They will simply block them, stop any communication with them, and keep the money. Financial records show the pair received about $1.3 million from their victims in totality, according to the authorities. Officials say 26 victims have been identified, but the FBI believes there is more. Talk about being a finesse king. So my question is, what do you do, right? What do you do? Me? Listen, I won't sit here and act as if I've never gotten finessed. I've had someone tell me that they own businesses that they didn't own, cars that they didn't own, right? And obviously, you know, my discernment is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given me. So I don't know if me in particular, if this could ever happen to me, because I'm an investigator when it comes to relationships. I'm telling you, I'm going to dig and I'm going to ask probing questions, because I already know the answer. If you lie, right, it's going to be a problem. It'll be difficult for me anyways, because I'm in the sports arena. But not to taunt the victims, like, you do know you can go on Google and pull up the roster, right? Like, I'm just saying, you can go on Google and pull up the entire team, not just the players, but also the staff members. If they're able to mimic Google and create a whole different search engine, then they indeed are they should win an award for greatest finessers of all times. So my first question would be, what did they do? Did you not go and look up the roster or the business LLC that they mentioned? Now, the LLC may be a little bit different, because anybody can create something just to create. But how do you give so much money to someone who alleged that they are a part of an NFL team without going to actually look up the roster? So, again, I don't want to blame the victims, but there has to be some type of accountability here. There has to be on both ends, right? I was sitting here this weekend trying to figure out why so many people was creating these pictures, these pictures of them in uniforms. I fell out the loop. I was like, what is going on here? Well, that's because they were taunting this, right? They were taunting this situation, which it was hilarious, but I do feel bad for the victims who were involved in this scandal. So I want to say this, and again, it's not to downplay anyone's ability to be competent, but it's just a reminder to ladies out there. First and foremost, don't be so thirsty or so, you know, having the need to want the company of a man so much to the point where you become obsessed or in love or whatever the case may be without even physically meeting them. And then you begin to send funds and money and take out loan. I'm not taking out a loan for no Negro. You understand? Now, if I'm married, that's different. But this goes back to something much deeper, because again, it's not the case for all women, but me personally, I just don't understand how it could get to the point to where you allow someone that you have never met, even if you did meet them, you allow someone to finesse you out of thousands of dollars simply because they say that they played on an NFL. If you played on an NFL team, you need to be giving me some money. Why am I giving you my money? If you are trying to talk to me and you say that you play in the NFL, baby, where is the money? I know that's right. Make it make sense. I'm not giving any money to no man, especially one who states that he is a part of the National Football League.
He was able to scrape up $1.3
million. $1.3 million. So far they have 26 victims, and it may be more. right? That's not little money. That's a lot of money. And they had to be banking on the women that, you know, they can tell got money.
I play for the Green Bay Packers. I'm LeBron James.
I'm just saying, right? A fraudster don't only study money. They study desire. They study, what do you want? You want love, security, status, an opportunity, a wealthy partner, a future. If somebody can identify the future you want desperately, want, sometimes they can create a character who appears to deliver it. And once your heart becomes invested, your brain begins doing free public relations for the lie. Well, maybe that's why he said he couldn't, but he explained it. I don't want to seem insecure, right? Now you are defending contradictions because accepting the truth will require giving up the fantasy. Status is powerful because it makes people outsource discernment, right? A doctor must be trustworthy. A professional athlete must have money. Executive must be successful. An investor must understand finance. A celebrity must be who they say they are. Absolutely not. Titles are claims until verified.
Women do it all the time, though.
How so, Meech?
Good.
Cause
they
what?
Lie. Women lie.
They do. Yeah. It
I mean, about their profession, for sure.
It's both ways. It is.
I mean, not at that extent to where you a celebrity, you on the team, but... You know, a woman could probably, you know, somebody could probably say they a WNBA player. You wouldn't even know.
You think so? I mean, you can, though. You can say it, right? But where's the research? That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't just tell me anything. I'm going to look it up, right? I'm going to find it. I'm going to figure it out. If something don't seem right, I'm going to figure it out. Like, there is so many red flags. Social media is one. Even if you, talk to them via date apps or whatever the case may be, there is so much, whether it's a man or a woman, there is so much that goes into keeping up a lie. So much that goes into making someone believe whatever it is that you want them to believe. But then you got to use your common sense, man. You have to use your common sense. Again, I'm not blaming the victims. Because what happened to them is wrong. And sometimes men do prey on women who are insecure or whatever the case may be. But it goes back to, again, being okay with being by yourself, being okay with, you know, traditional dating, not utilizing the apps, right? And understanding that if somebody asking you to send them some money and they're this successful, that's a problem. I don't care if they are reaching out about, hey, I want you to invest in this, this, this. I don't know you from a can of paint. Why would I invest in what you got going on? I don't know you, man. I don't know you. We got to go to break. But when we come back, we are talking about something completely different. Target puts a black child in a Halloween costume that critics immediately connect to the degrading visual history of blackface. Target pulls it and apologizes. But here's what I'm asking. Corporations know what black people buy. They know what we listen to. They know how we dress. They know who influences us. They know when to put black people in the commercial. So how come an institution know our consumer behavior better than it knows our history? And bigger than that, right? What happens when America learns how to monetize blackness faster than it learns how to understand black people? That's what we're talking about. The next 30 minutes, do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. Yeah. 1017 The Truth, it's your girl, Jazz Tyler. You are officially tapped into the American Family Insurance Studio, located at the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. And listen, we're going to get real with this. I just want to mention also at the 6 o'clock hour that we have two special guests coming on, some youth, and we're going to talk to them about how this makes them feel as well. But Target recently pulled a $25 children's clown Halloween costume after black customers and others objected that its imagery resembled racist blackface. And again, I'm not reiterating something that we are not familiar with. This has been happening for quite some time. But seems that Target keeps making its way inside of mainstream media when it comes to Black people. The online promotional image featured a Black child wearing an orange and Black costume with Black gloves and a mask with an exaggerated wide grin. Target apologized. The company said the costume was offensive, should never have been in its assortment, and said it was looking at how it happened and what needed to change. Those are the facts, right? Now we're going to break this down because I don't want to spend an hour asking our people, Black people, right, how they feel about this. We know how we feel about this. We know what happened when it came to the DEI situation, right? The interesting question is how something carrying that historical resemblance move through a modern corporation all the way to a Black child modeling it. I mean, at some point, people, we got to pick a side. And yes, we have this conversation all the time. There are some Black people that I don't care what Target does, they're just never going to stop shopping at what they consider to be Target. Doesn't matter. They're going to consistently spend their money. Once they initiated that and released that apology about the DEI situation, right? We protested it, seeing that they lost some shares, millions of dollars, all of that stuff. But guess what? Black people went right back to shopping at Target. Had amnesia about the DEI situation, about anything else pertaining to exploiting Black people and some of the nasty parodies that our history has showed us time and time again, how much corporations like this do not appreciate or value us or our dollars, right? And yet we continue to go back and shop with them. So I want you to think about what corporations know about us, not Target specifically, but just corporate America. They know what Black women purchase. They know what Black teenagers stream. They know how to do what they do. They know who influences the fashion. They know which athlete move product. They know which music works in an advertisement. It's all called PR and marketing. They know which language tests well. They know where consumers live, right? They know what you clicked on. They know what you abandoned in your online cart. They know whether you are likely to buy something after seeing a celebrity wear it, right? This is all modern day marketing. And modern marketing can understand our purchasing behavior down to the detail, the very, very specific details, right? And yet somehow historical literacy can still be missing. I don't believe that none of this isn't intentional. And the reason why I say that is because the people who work inside of these corporations, who are a part of the marketing team, the social media team, the PR team, the advertising, all of that, the branding overall, have gone to four-year universities. And corporate, in for the corporate world, you have to have a degree in this. They've gone to universities to obtain their college degree. When it comes to marketing and branding, they've taken courses. Some go on to work at these organizations after college, which means that they gain some type of experience. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, again, you cannot tell me that we're not talking emotions. We're not even talking common sense. We're talking corporate. We're talking professionalism. We're talking business. We're talking degrees and colleges, right? Anybody that has a degree pertaining to marketing or branding knows for a fact that dishing out this type of advertisement is unacceptable. We don't have to keep reiterating our history. They know our history. They created our history, right? Not created, but dictated it. We don't have to have continuous conversations about the fact that, you know, what the blackface is. Well, to a certain degree, we do because a lot of youth aren't familiar with it. But I'm sure that if they were to see this image, obviously they would understand that it's wrong. But where we go wrong is we start a protest. Everybody says, hey, let's protest Target, right? They just put a child in the advertisement and gave him the blackface and got him shucking and jiving and mimicking parodies that is an insult to our entire culture, to our entire ethnicity, right? And our ancestors. And then after that protest, you know, takes action for the time being, after the company takes action, right, which is typically the first thing they'll do is apologize, put out a public statement to apologize. Then they're going to say, you know, we're going to go back to our team and discuss this, and we're going to take it down and put something new out, right? Which means that, again, they know exactly what they were doing. All they have to do is apologize to us. And within maybe 60 days, we'll be back. If we can last that long, we'll be back purchasing items from their store. Now, to play advocate, I don't like to say devil's advocate, but I am going to play advocate. The challenging part about this, and we're not just talking about Target, we're talking about major corporations that carry items that we need, right? The difficult thing about this when it comes to Black people is the point that a lot of these corporations and organizations know that they have what we need. Now, evidently, you can go to Myers, you can go to Walmart, you can go shop on Amazon. You don't have to shop at Target. However, there are some things that people, that Target has that other corporations don't have, right? But when they do this, it's very arrogant. And the reason why I say they do it deliberately is because they know that, A, we are addicted to shopping. We are so addicted to shopping. If it's something that we want so bad, we're going to get it despite of whatever the issues may be, right? There's even some Black people who would say, well, it wasn't me. It wasn't my child. It didn't happen to me, da-da-da-da, right? Those are that's the percentage of Black people who will still continue to support businesses like this. But when there is a corporation that produces things that the masses of the people need, how do we hold them accountable? Because evidently, and again, I'm not talking about specifically Target, but evidently they have things that we need, necessities, right? So if Walmart decides to do the same thing that Target did, how can we stop shopping at Walmart when they sell exactly what it is that we need? That's the bigger question. What do we do? The protesting don't work because after a while, people just protest for what? An apology? No. And when we're going at these corporations who conduct this type of behavior, we need to have some type of demand to where we need verified who exactly what decision, not a department, but that person needs to be terminated. We don't want an apology. We don't want, you know, some type of press release stating that it will be removed. What are you doing about it on your end? And on top of that, how often are we following up when we make these requests, right? Once we say, hey, we're protesting this, this is what we want in return, it seems like we get amnesia. It seems like we forget that this has happened, and then we just fall right back into that same routine. Okay, it's been 30 days. It's okay to shop at Target now. It's been 60 days. It's okay to shop back at Target now. I'm going to tell you first and foremost, I'm not addicted to Target. I know a lot of people, especially Black women who are, I am not addicted to Target, which means that I don't have to spend my money there. And to see, I don't know if you guys have seen the image, but if you haven't, please look it up. Please look it up. It is so offensive. It is so offensive to the point where it cannot be ignored. And at some point, again, there needs to be a larger conversation on the fact that corporations are allowed to do this. To me, this is very antagonistic. This is saying, hey, we got away with this and now we're going to do it again just to prove a point, just to prove that no matter what we do, you guys are going to continue to shop and spend your money at our corporation. Got to figure this out. Got to figure this out. We got to go to break. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. Seven The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. If you are just now joining us, before we went to break, I was talking about Target and how they recently pulled a $25 children's clown Halloween costume after black customers and others objected that it resembled a racist blackface, right? The online promotional image featured a black child wearing an orange and black costume with black gloves and a mask with an exaggerated wide grin. Target apologized. The company said the costume was offensive, should have never been the case. And it said it was looking at how it happened and what needed to change. My stance is, again, there are so many black people, especially black women, I know, who shop at Target, didn't stop when the DEI situation happened, probably won't stop now. And the bigger question is, why do we continue to let them play in our face after they've shown us who they are? But also, when it is a corporation, not speaking about Target specifically, but when it is a corporation that, you know, sells necessities, sells things that we need, how do we go about not spending our money there? And the bigger context of this story overall is the children, because a lot of our youth are not aware of this history. This isn't history that is taught at school. This isn't history that is taught on a regular basis. However, this is something that they should know about so that they don't assume that this behavior is okay. Joining me, we have two special guests in the building. We have some youth. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. They are going to mention their names. They're going to ask, you know, go into details about how they feel. And then we're going to hop in to a different topic at the 6 o'clock hour. What's up, y'all?
Hi.
How y'all feeling?
I'm good.
Good. You nervous?
No.
You nervous?
Sort of.
It's okay. Don't be. Y'all got it. Y'all are brilliant. So tell the people who you are and how old you are.
I'm Chelsea and I'm 10. I'm Malia, and I'm 12.
What school do y'all go to?
Greenfield Middle School.
Yeah. Yes. So, for those who are not aware, the past month, Truth has teamed up with the Safe Summer Sites, and myself and Meech and Cece started going to Mary Ryan Boys and Girls Club after work Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we were working with the youth on radio, showing them how to do commercials, helping them create their own run of shows, things of that nature. And these two young ladies won. They actually won, not because it was a raffle or anything, but because they actually do great work. So we're going to dive a little bit more into how that came about, what piques their interest. But I want to stay on this Target topic just for a little while longer. We have a caller on the line. Dr. Andrew Ward, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for tapping in with us. Do you have a comment about this advertisement with Target?
I want to speak about all these heads of ads where a white man is lending a black man a quarter and putting the bill of his hat in his forehead and telling him, go in there and get those bargains. That's pitiful.
Yes.
And that should have been off 100 years ago. It's been on there too long.
Yes. Mr. Word, if you don't mind me asking, the reason why I'm asking is because I have two young ladies in the studio with me. And obviously, we as adults know that this has been happening for quite some time. But can you just kind of give us your experience growing up when you've seen things like this back in your time?
I'm 83 years old. I was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. Had plenty of black role models, and we did not take anything. And you know that.
Absolutely.
I went to school with Hamilton Holmes and Charlene Hunter, who integrated the University of Georgia. And Marvin Arrington was the quarterback. He was the city council president. And he forward, he integrated Emory University. And he was instrumental in getting Hamilton Holmes and Charlene Hunter into the integrating the University of Georgia. I come from a long line of proud and accomplished people.
Yes. And you agree that obviously that this is completely unacceptable.
I know. And I have tried to call the elders and tell them I couldn't get through. They were talking about do it online. If I could talk to somebody, they would hear from me quickly.
Well, you know what, Mr. Ward, Dr. Ward, we are going to call for you.
thank you. And thank you. And thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for tapping in with us. And thank you so much for enlightening us on your history as well. And thank you for being willing to give your testimony to the youth. So I talked to you guys. I showed you guys this image. And I'll talk to you about the history of it. How do you feel about this?
It's racist.
Absolutely. What is the first feeling that you get when you see a photo like that? So remove the information I gave you and just think about just viewing it without that knowledge. Would you automatically assume that it was racist? Like, would you know at your age, does something seem off, or would you just assume that they're just advertising a costume?
Well, my teacher taught me about blackface because we read a book. So I would know that it's racist.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Which is amazing because a lot of teachers don't teach that. What about you, Malia?
I did not know any information, but like from the standpoint that I didn't, I would think that it looked kind of weird because it's just like not something that you see all the time.
Right. And the biggest point of it all, too, is it doesn't even look like a clown costume. I think that's what's frustrating me the most, right? Like, when you look at this photo, nothing about this photo says clown.
Right.
Nothing about this Target advertisement says clown, right? You have, obviously, the exaggerated face mask with the exaggerated lips, the little hat, and then it's, you know, brown and orange with the black gloves. This does not appear to be any type of costume that references a clown, which means that they deliberately, they have deliberately did that, right? So as youth, my question to you all is, and we know you can only answer hypothetically because y'all don't work and buy your own stuff. Do you feel that there should be some accountability for that child's parent?
Oh, it was after a child?
Well, no, the child is a part of the picture. So what they do is, my daughter, Callie, she used to model. She started modeling when she was one. And they will bring you in and say, well, first they'll reach out to the modeling agency and they'll say, hey, we have a job. You have a opportunity with Boston Store or with Target. Would you be interested this date, this time? Say, yes, absolutely, sign her up. And then you take that child in. And when they're under a certain age, they have to tell you ahead of time what the photo shoot is, which means that 99.9% the parents were aware of this prior to it being released. They were aware the moment that they stepped foot onto the set. Do you believe that the parents should be held accountable too?
Yes.
Why?
Because if, like, if you would have known, I feel like you wouldn't want your child to be the face of that.
Exactly. Exactly. That means that we have to do a better job, not just as a people, but as a community. What advice would you give to, so let's take this young man into consideration, right? Let's remove the parents. Let's remove, you know, Target. I can imagine that he's probably feeling away because he don't completely understand what is happening, right? What advice do you have for the young man who is in this advertisement?
Pay attention.
Yes. Yeah. Malia?
Yeah, I agree with what Chelsea said. Pay attention and try to be more cautious of things that you agree to.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that, right? Because this helps youth understand that when it comes to making business deals, they have to have some type of say-so or understanding, too. For those who are joining us, we are talking about the advertisement that Target put out of this young black boy reenacting a blackface character. And we were talking about the accountability of the parents. How do you allow your child, right? How do you allow your child to be a part of this? And I'm not cutting anybody any slack because, again, I have a daughter who used to model, and we were always made aware. If they're under a certain age, we were always made aware ahead of time of who the company is. You are physically there during the photo shoot, which means that because you have to get your child dressed. If they're old enough to get themselves dressed, you still have to be there with that child. So obviously we are not upset with the baby who's a part of this advertisement, but whoever the parents are, you got to come front and center. We got to have a conversation because this is absolutely not cool. It's putting out the wrong message. And common sense shows that this costume has nothing to do with Halloween. Or I'm sorry, with being a clown. Has nothing to do with being a clown. This is a type of representation that is being sent to our babies. This is what they consider to be, this is what is considered to be, I guess, okay, because we keep going back spending money with Target, right? We've been through this with the DEI situation, and then we protest, 30 days, and then everybody go right back to spending their money. I'm telling you right now, Target won't get another dollar out of me. I'll go to Walmart. I don't even like going to Walmart, but I'll go to Walmart or Myers before I ever spend another dollar at Target. Let's talk about it. We got special guests in the building. Going to have some great conversations today. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth.